Mandurah residents call for better lighting after tragic boat crash deaths. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to visit Alice Springs and the bikie looking for a pen pal. It's Tuesday, 24th of January.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Do you know what? I just noticed something. Every now and then, my old Melbourne accent comes out where E's are A's and A's are E's. Pen pal, I should say, not pen pal.
Is that how Melbourne people
Yeah,
do it?
Yeah. So we say, like, instead of elephant, elephant. If you listen really carefully, help instead of help. Oh, yeah.
Because my thing as a Queenslander is the double O sound. Pool and cool
school,
and school.
And
so, but here in WA, it's pull,
school. Yeah,
cool.
The other one,
cool.
New South Wales, is beer, whereas in Melbourne here, a bit beer, get a bit of an
extra syllable at the end. Interesting. And now, let's talk about this tragic boat accident in Mandurah, because WA has rallied around young Eagles player Rhett Bazzo after his mum was killed in that accident on Saturday. But now questions are being asked about how it happened in the first place.
Yeah, so residents are now questioning the visibility of the navigation markers in the Mandurah estuary. They say there are at least 10 markers throughout the estuary that are particularly bad when it comes to visibility at night time. They believe that there need to be improvements. We're talking about, say, a solar light on top of each of these markers to make them better lit. What's interesting is the Transport Department has already come out and rejected these claims, saying that the markers in the Mandurah estuary are already well lit. This will obviously be part of the police investigation into this boat crash, which is ongoing. We know that it has claimed the lives of two people. And so the person who was the skipper of that boat has been in Royal Perth Hospital in a stable condition. So police will obviously be wanting to speak with him to try to ascertain what went so horribly wrong.
Yeah, and there's been speculation. Witnesses have come out. It's probably unhelpful at the moment until that police investigation has been completed. Indeed. And now this one's a scary story. A man has suffered serious injuries in a workplace accident.
Yeah, a crane that toppled at a work site in Wanneroo. Have you seen the pictures from this one?
Yeah.
100-ton crane that has just gone over. The cab has been crushed. It's taken out shipping containers as it's gone down. Mm. The crane driver has been trapped inside. A delicate rescue operation. Miracle, really, that he has survived this. 2 hours it took to get him out. He was then airlifted to Royal Perth Hospital. This morning, we're told he is awaiting surgery on his legs. So that is expected to happen today. Hopefully, he can make a full recovery, but whew.
Yeah, terrifying. The picture's just absolutely scary. And now, Matty, would you like some bikie news?
I would love bikie news.
Well, I don't just have one story. I've got two of them
multiple.
For you.
Oh.
So cast your mind back to last week when former Hells Angel bikie Dane Brakovich walked out of Perth Magistrates Court. Big smile on his face after he became the first person to be acquitted of two charges of displaying gang insignia in public, because the WA government is obviously cracking down on bikies, and part of that is introducing legislation that prohibits the display of these bikie insignias.
And that's because he doesn't walk like a homie, Jim.
That's right. That's why he got off.
Because
he won that court case in bizarre fashion after successfully arguing it was a case of mistaken identity, despite being one of the most recognisable people in WA. Incredible result. Well, Brakovich's blatant display of the swastika on his face at the recent court hearings has drawn the ire of the state's top lawman, who last week announced plans to make it illegal to display the offensive symbol. And now Attorney General John Quigley has come out with a warning to Brakovich in particular, saying that he'd better start saving up for more tattoos to cover up the soon-to-be-outlawed swastika. Quigley told the West Australian that the bikie should make a further appointment with a tattoo artist to have that blacked out as well. I probably wouldn't go to the AG for tattoo inspiration. Do you know what Quigley suggested?
What did he suggest?
He suggested to replace the swastika, Brakovich should just get a big black blob.
A black blob. Geez, he's quite the Mr. Squiggle, the Attorney General, isn't he?
I know, upside down. And now, in other bikie news, you remember the baby-face bikie who was jailed over the theft of $500,000
that he
helped dig up from that Thornley backyard? So apparently, Samuel Wilmot, who was a Rebels nominee once upon a time, is a bit lonely behind bars. bit lonely. Mm. And a jailhouse portrait of the crook clad in prison green has been posted on Facebook as he searches for a pen pal. So it's been posted on his behalf on the Facebook page, Australian Inmates Looking for Pen Pals, which is a
I didn't even know this existed.
Thing. It's a real thing. And one of the, do you know what one of the criteria is?
Is this, this almost looks like some sort of Tinder for prisoners.
It is. It is a lot like that.
Yeah, okay.
And one of the criteria, the bar is quite low to clear, but one of the criteria for being eligible to be on this Facebook page is you can be in jail. That's not a deal breaker, but you can't have committed any violent acts against women or children.
You know.
which in the post by one of his mates says, no, Samuel Wilmot has not committed any crimes against women
just
or children.
Looking at this, what an advertisement. Is that going to be his Instagram profile when he gets out?
And guess what? Two women have replied already.
Oh.
With one promising to, I will write him a letter. And her comment was accompanied by pink love heart emojis.
Oh, God.
A bit disturbing, isn't it?
Oh, this, I mean, a little part of me is fascinated by this. Yeah. Like, I would love to read the letters.
That's why we're talking about it right now.
If we can get hold of the letters, that would be great.
Well, they go through the prison system, so maybe it's possible. And now, meanwhile, the search for Alana McTiernan's replacement in Parliament has descended into farce. Farce, I tell you. With the man most likely to replace her having his membership of the WA Labor Party suspended as he faces more than 40 charges of breaching a family violence restraining order. Now, he's a Narrogin lawyer, Ben Dawkins, and he's contesting all of these allegations, which he claims relate solely to email correspondent with an estranged wife. However, WA Labor Secretary Ellie Whittaker confirmed yesterday that Mr. Dawkins had been suspended from the party, meaning that he could join Parliament as an independent as soon as February, once the 43 criminal charges wind their way through court. Now, you might be thinking, why Dawkins in the first place?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Maddie. It's because of the rules governing the Legislative Council, where MPs who retire or resign mid-term are not replaced through by-elections. So in the upper house...
Someone's nominated
on the
off
ticket.
They go. Yeah.
It's a six-person ticket, and they just basically work down the ticket, which is fine, except in this case, you've got the top three people on that ticket, Sally Talbot, Alana McTiernan, and Jackie Jarvis, were all elected because of the landslide election win for Labor in 2021. So all of a sudden, you're up to number fourth on the list, who's Bunbury signwriter John Mondi, and he has yet to confirm whether he's even interested in the job.
Okay.
It's been a couple of years now since the election.
He might be over it.
He might be over it. He's got a very successful small business.
Yep.
Probably wants to keep that going rather than state parliament. And so then all of a sudden, now you're up to the fifth on the ticket, which was Dawkins.
So this is like a Steve Bradbury moment.
Yeah, very much a Steve Bradbury situation. And even before this latest stuff, Dawkins had already fallen out of favour with the Labor Party in the last sort of year and a half. He claimed that Labor breached its pre-selection processes when he failed to win endorsement for the seat of Forrest. So in the end of all of this, Labor might end up actually losing a seat in the upper house over it.
So at the moment, so these charges haven't been proven. They're still
haven't been proven.
To be sorted out in court.
Yep.
It feels like there's a lot of politics at play behind the scenes here.
But he's not in the Labor Party anymore. So
no.
as long as he beats the rap on these charges, he'll be in as an independent.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
I can't see him siding with Labor anytime soon.
I agree. And now Anthony Albanese is set to visit Alice Springs on Tuesday after facing growing calls to travel to the embattled town amid a roaring crime wave. Now, we've spoken about this. So Alice Springs has got some big social problems. And now it looks like it's coming to a head with the PM set to visit just to cast his eye over what's going on there. And pressure is also mounting on the Northern Territory government to ban alcohol sales in Alice Springs to try and resolve the law and order issues. Alcohol-related problems have been on the rise since the intervention-era bans on alcohol in remote Aboriginal communities in the area came to an end in July when, liquor became legal in some communities for the first time in 15 years. Because there are a number of dry communities up there in the Northern Territory. And now the Chief Minister of the Northern Territory, Natasha Files, is flying to Alice Springs today to listen to the concerns of locals. But she's told the media that she's not going to back any race-based intervention.
Okay.
So like, you know, sort of alcohol bans targeted at
So what's needed? Education?
People.
What's needed there, do you think?
Oh, it's a very, very complicated problem in Alice Springs.
Yeah.
And so we will see. We will see where that goes from here. And now, you know how we talk a bit every now and then about Australia's ageing population?
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing compared to Japan's. And it's getting so bad over there that Japan's Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, has said that his country is on the brink of not being able to function as a society because of its fall falling birth rate. So they've got a population of 125 million, but they've estimated to have had fewer than 800,000 births last year. In the 1970s, the birth rate was more than 2 million a year.
And they live long in Japan.
That's the problem,
that,
right?
That rice and sushi diet
is very good.
Works wonders.
And don't forget the matcha, the green tea, lots of antioxidants. So life expectancy has risen in recent decades, meaning now there's so many older people. It's got the world's second highest proportion of people aged 65 and over. It's nearly 30% of the population. Only Monaco has a greater percentage of older people. And so because of that, by 2050, get this, it's estimated that Japan may have lost a fifth of its population.
20%?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, right?
So how are they going to function? You know, well, because are they going to have
they
to
don't have enough
raise
young
taxes?
Workers. Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Well, every other country, most other countries, allow immigration.
Mm.
And so you can boost your population that way, which is one way that Australia has gone about it, letting in, you know, 140,000 immigrants or something like that. Japan has very strict immigration laws. It's almost impossible to be a Japanese citizen. It's very hard to live there permanently. But now experts are saying that they might need to relax those rules. Because it's basically a monoculture. It's quite unique in that sense. So we'll see, I guess. But yeah, it might be a good time for any Australians who love Japan. Maybe there's
the direct flights start in October.
You might be able to one day become Japanese.
Turning Japanese, literally.
That song's surely cancelled by now.
Sport.
Novak Djokovic has sealed a dominant straight sets win at the Australian Open yesterday over Aussie Alex de Minaur. The 6-2, 6-1, 6-2 win for Djokovic now sets up a quarterfinal clash with Andrei Rublev. And now, going into this match, people thought the Joker had some injury issues. He'd been battling and sort of a nagging hamstring injury. Certainly wasn't a problem. He absolutely smashed
him,
Alex, who was our lone Aussie hope in the men's draw, I think in the tournament, full stop. But it was a centre court masterclass from the former number one, with the emphatic victory sending a message to the remaining players in the men's draw.
Yeah, he's a hot favourite, isn't he?
Yeah, wouldn't bet against him.
The Wild West.
And now, Maddie, I'm excited about this one. Go-karts are coming to Optus Stadium.
Yes, it all starts today. They're going to be revving up. There's a track that's more than 700 metres long. This track will be in place for 3 months. So it's being billed as Australia's ultimate outdoor karting experience. So these stadium karts are brought to Perth by local A1GP and V8 supercar driver Christian Murchison in partnership with Venues Live, and they'll operate on this custom-built track. You can, you know, test your speed, full range of corners. We're talking speeds of up to 70 k's an hour. I mean, that's fast.
Can I just be the devil's advocate here? That's quite fast for a go-kart.
Yeah, it's really fast.
Doesn't that seem a little bit dangerous?
I mean, that's what you get up to. I don't know if you and I would get up to that.
Even 50 is fast. 50 k's an hour is fast.
Yeah, in a go-kart. So you're probably wondering, like, what's the track? So it incorporates the Stadium Park East Precinct area near the Perth Stadium train station, and stretches around the gardens under the overpasses and includes a 150-metre straight, allowing drivers to reach high speeds and passing through four tunnels. It sounds very cool.
Well,
I think we should do it.
It sounds amazing. And can we tee it up?
Well, we could tee it up. We just have to save up some moolah. So tickets start from just $59, we're told.
Okay.
Off-peak options, $39. We could probably do off-peak with our hours. Each session lasts for about 20 minutes, including 10 minutes of track time.
Oh, yeah. 10 minutes.
So what's that? So $59, 10 minutes, that's $5.90 a minute.
Yeah.
That's about what you pay for a coffee.
Have you ever driven one of those cars around Barbagallo?
Have you?
Yeah.
How did you go with that?
Very good. It was amazing.
Oh, do you know what else? I'm just looking at this. There's multi-drive packages for races 14 years and over. So you can,
you book in for a few sessions.
Yeah, a few sessions.
You probably need a few to get good at it, I reckon.
Yeah. I reckon for teenagers for school, like the tail end of the school holidays.
Bags not being on the track with teenagers going 70 kilometres an hour.
I would pay to see that. Who's going to win?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty competitive. And that's your news from the West Australian for Tuesday, January 24. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
We will do. Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
Australia, an entire generation has been waiting for this.
This
is Australian Idol.
The biggest star maker on the planet.
Oh, God.
Is back.
You're 16 from Darwin.
No one knew their name.
Hello, Kelly.
Jennifer Hudson from Chicago.
Until Idol found them.
Now we're going to every corner of the country.
Leaving no stone unturned.
No bridge uncrossed.
No chance unseen.
To find your next Australian Idol.
Starts Monday, Jan 30 on 7 and 7+.